Find a place to hole up for dark. Could be the Stickies might miss you.
How about him? Dying. Give him a bullet, mister. Least you can do for us.
You got a carbine. You do it. He's your friend, not mine.
Empty.
Ryan was tired of wasting time. He stepped in and kneeled, his eye watching for another piece of treachery. Placed the 4.5-inch barrel of the handgun behind the dying man's ear, and squeezed the trigger.
There. Now get out of here.
Still trying to wind the crimson strips of rag around his face, the other wounded leper rose to his feet. And all four of them began to move wearily off along the road toward the cluster of buildings.
Don't even think about stopping in that township. We'll be there, and we'll chill anyone in the way. You just walk on.
Slowly, looking to be in the last stages of exhaustion, the four lepers trudged away, following the blacktop, leaving the corpses of their colleagues where they lay. Ryan watched them until he was sure they weren't going to dodge into the buildings and try to hide. Then he lifted the Sig Sauer and waved JB and Jack toward him.
Bring the others. Let's get ready for the Stickies.
I do like I want.
No.
You want me to beg?
No.
So that's what I'll do. I'll beg you, Ryan.
The answer's still no.
Please, just leave me here with some water and a handful of jerky. Blaster and enough ammo so I can spare one for myself at the ending. You know that's what makes sense for everyone.
Abe was hovering on the edge of delirium, drifting in and out of madness. When he was sane, he would argue logically that Ryan and the others should go on while they had a chance and leave him behind. When his fever soared, he would shout at them to get out and abandon him, like he'd do to them if he only could get a lucky break. Mildred had finally had to restrain him physically, binding his wrists and ankles to keep him still on the stretcher. Ryan left her with Dean, Christina, Jack, Harold, and Dorina, while he went with Doc, Christy, and JB to explore what remained of the tiny township of Bearclaw Ridge. Several of the constituent parts of the township had already collapsed. The offices and restaurant of the Overlook Resort Motel had tumbled into ruins, showing the scorched signs of an ancient fire. The nearby vacation cottages had also long gone, absorbed into the wilderness. Some of them had been ranged along a cliff to the northwest, doubtless with wonderful views of the setting sun. But the earth tremors during the long winters had felled tens of thousands of tons of rock into the abyss below, taking many of the cottages with it. All that remained was a squat, single-story shack of rotting wood, its sign still proclaiming that it had been called Vern's Place. Doors and windows were gone, and the shingle roof had fallen in. A rattler glided away from under the old porch as they approached. Part of the sky-high mall still stood. It had been two floors, divided into a number of small boutiques, but it looked as though one of the quakes had rocked it off its foundations. It leaned like an elderly dowager, complaining that it was old, ill, terrified, and drunk. And there was the Beacon Multiplex Cinema. Rectangular and sturdy, its wind-washed concrete shell was the only place in the tiny settlement that had kept itself together. The outer glass doors were long gone, shattered into a million shards of bright crystal, but the inner doors had been armored, layered with protective wire. They'd been cracked and splintered, and they showed the signs of some serious attacks, but they still stood against the elements. The beacon was where Ryan had helped to carry the wounded Abe.
We could separate and scatter through the shopping mall. Wait and pick them off.
The building's double dangerous. You move a hand and you get the roof girders in on top of you.
This takes me back, my dear friends. Oh, so far back. To such happy times with my dearest Emily.
You came up here?
Not here, John Barrymore, but to places like it. In far Montana, and in the snowy fastness of Colorado. The hotels then were not gimcracked little tin-plate boxes. They were grand. Giant trees ranged around the lobby, and balconies in serried rows. Magnificent. Did I tell you of the barge wherein she sat with...
Abe's worse. Mildred reckons he has to rest.
It's down to numbers. They come at us in the dark, then they can do us some serious damage.
You mean that they might kill some of us? I have always been fascinated at the euphemisms employed by dealers in death. High body count, necessary removal, large item discounting, successful site clearance. When all that is meant is the deliberate destruction of other human beings, now you calmly stand there and say that there could be serious damage to us.
Comes down to the same thing, Doc. Flat on your back and rain in your open eyes. We all know about that, don't we?
Yes. Yes, of course, my dear fellow. But we all know the talk is cheap, while the price of action is utterly colossal.
Ryan looked around once more, trying to work out in his mind how dark it might be before the Stickies reached the crest of the trail and looked down the blacktop into Bear Claw Ridge.
Time's running through our fingers. Let's go talk to the others.
Abe was unconscious.
It's partly delayed clinical shock. The bullet went in, threw it out, and I still don't think it did Abe any life-threatening injury. But there could be some internal hemorrhage. No bowel movement, so I can't be that certain. So Abe could come out of the shock syndrome in around 24 hours.
Or
he'll be dead sometime tomorrow morning. Before noon is the likely prognosis.
And if Abe's moved?
I believe it would guarantee his death. The shaking would do it.
In any case, all of us moving with Abe isn't really a viable combat option. It'll slow us down too much. I did a wreck the far side of the ville. The trail goes back down someplace. Very steep and narrow. Stickies would take us easily by first light, if not before.
That's a path that comes eventually to Brightwater Canyon. Get back toward the desert floor that way. Comes out between our spread and Helga's place.
All right, everyone. This is the way it'll be. Don't waste time arguing about it. I'm staying here with Abe.
There was a moment of silence in the vault of the multiplex.
It'll be tough on your own. I'll stay with you.
You mean we go on and hope the Stickies follow us?
Don't be a stoop, Harold.
Why?
Carrying Abe. They'll be on us any time now. We can move real fast without him.
And Christina knows the country. If we play it right, then the Stickies won't bother looking around the ville here. You get clear, they give up. We come out safe.
Ryan looked at Christy, knowing what he'd see in her eyes.
I'll stay with you.
I'll remain with you.
You and me, Ryan. Gotta be me.
Charlie isn't your usual Sticky. Too many drop out and he might read it on the trail. Take the stretcher and drag it with you. Could help fool him. JB, you have to go. You need a top gun with the group.
Why can't I stay?
Because I don't want to risk losing you. This is some seriously dangerous shit.
That's why I offered, lover.
Dean will need you if anything happens to me in here.
I need you, you triple-stoop bastard.
Really only one person who can stay with you here. In there, Ryan.
Partings were swift and painful. Jack had already slipped away, returning with the report that Charlie and the Stickies were still a fair distance down the trail. But they seemed to be moving faster as the sun dipped behind the snow-tipped western peaks.
How long?
The red-orange sky had tinted the teenager's white hair a fiery crimson, almost the same color as Christie's. His eyes glittered like rubies in a furnace.
Hour, the trailhead. Maybe longer to here. Maybe not.
You look to see if the lepers have gone?
Yeah, no sign. The track's twisting and lots of trees. Stay double red.
Better go. We stay too long and all this is for nothing.
There was a depth of cold in her voice that Ryan had hardly ever heard before. It crossed his mind that she could see some sort of disaster striking them and wasn't telling him. But he dismissed that. If there had been some unknown threat, Christy would have told him. She kissed him on the cheek once, like the brush of a moth's wing.
You better come through this safe, lover.
Christina was bright and brittle, seeming like she was holding on to the last shreds of self-control by a single ragged fingernail. She smiled a lot and kept hugging Jack, patted Ryan on the shoulder, and urged him to look after her man. She mentioned her pregnancy several times, looking around the dank building with eyes that brimmed with unshed tears. Dean offered his hand for Ryan to shake, keeping his lips from trembling as he said goodbye.
All goes well, son, and I'll be back with you in a day. Two at the outside.
Mildred embraced Ryan and Jack, kneeling to check the pulse of the unconscious Abe.
He could go any time. Keep a good watch.
Yeah. You take care, too. Later, JB.
Right.
Harold and Dorina were standing near the door, holding hands and looking like a couple of orphans of the storm.
Good luck.
Pay off some more of the debt for me, Ryan.
Huddled in a man's coat, Dorina looked absurdly even younger. If he hadn't known better, Ryan would probably have taken her for 8 years old.
Yeah. I'll even up the score for you if I can.
There was no point in telling her that he hoped he wouldn't even have to pull a trigger on the stickies. That wasn't the idea of the plan at all. Finally, they were all gone. Abe was still sunk deep into a blank coma, his eyes closed, a thin line of saliva dribbling from the corner.